and welcome to Marooned at MacBite's headquarters. Day 271. It actually feels like I've just lived the last 271 days in one day. This new machine, possessed. It's not been good, has it, Mike? Where should I start? We got it on the desk last night. It'll be fine, I said. Famous last words.
Johnny said you sound a little distant from the mic.
This doesn't surprise
me. Let's have a listen.
Let me have another look at this possessed machine. Right. Yeah, there we go. How's that? Much better. It's sliding down the scale again. If only I could explain to you just what a nightmare everything is. Jonathan, I can't get Skype working. Could you hear me? But I couldn't hear you.
You couldn't hear me.
It's like two tin cans and a ball of string.
I could hear you, but that could be my end. You know what I'm like configuring audio.
Can I just say, it could be anything. I have not enjoyed... Well, I have and I haven't. I have enjoyed setting it up in terms of tweaking workflows, but I have not enjoyed setting it up in terms of if I see one more dialogue box that says cancel or allow, I will have a nervous breakdown. That. I haven't actually got Wirecast installed yet for a 9 o'clock show. Skype's not playing ball. Snagit's not playing ball.
So it's going to be a very short Marooned.
Marooned could possibly be the shortest ever, in which case, you know, bonus to Johnny. There's
hi,
a point.
Hi and bye.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I'm going to have to sort the Skype thing out. I honestly don't think it would make much difference, Paul. It's doing weird things. This is shocking. The experience, I can't imagine what it would be like for a newbie trying to set this up. Because we know what we're doing. And it's like, that's not working. No. Well, I'll do it manually. So there's been a lot of manual configurations and all kinds of stuff going on. It's not good. It wasn't Mike that toned me down. It was the system. In your sound preference panel, in the input section, there's a range of microphones. And we have the microphone hooked up to Audio Hijack. And randomly, for no reason whatsoever, it slides the input volume up and down. So before we start, we always have to make sure it's at the top. But, you know, if I put it at the top, it shouldn't move. Only it is. So that was the problem with that. Anyway, let's say hello to everybody. Hello, Jonathan. He was number one. Excellent. CQ, Deb, CQ. What we're doing is we're testing something in the radio department. And there's two blocks there. And one was saying on air and the other was saying connecting, which was why I said, not there yet. And then all of a sudden I was. Anyway, we're here now. Hello, Paul.
Kimmy's going to say goodbye.
Oh, hello, goodbye. What happened?
Bye, Kimmy.
let's see who else we've got. Oh, we've got Paul in Ohio. Hello, Paul. We've got Anthony. I think that would be better, Jonathan. I will have it working by tomorrow if I have to take a hammer to it. I can't actually fathom why it's not working. It's just not working. But all will be revealed in the next epic MacBites, won't it?
It will.
Which could possibly be about 17 hours long. If I take you through the installs and the faux part of the installs, even just once, it'll probably be the longest MacBites ever.
Great.
What's the matter now?
Well, just like you're having gremlins with your audio, I'm having gremlins trying to pay for the shopping. Something went wrong.
Take a screenshot of that unhappy thing. Isn't it condescending when you're trying to check out and it says something went wrong?
I can't even upload it to WhatsApp because I haven't got it installed yet.
Do you know, I should not have changed it. I shouldn't. I should not have moved this machine last night because now nothing's working. Well, obviously the basics are we can broadcast the audio. So, hey, we're winning on that front. I have no idea why Skype isn't working. Snagit's not working properly. You're going to love this one. Not only do I not have Wirecast installed for tonight's show, but I also don't have Camtasia installed yet. All to do with licensing issues, which just so different than how I recall the joy, unbridled joy, of setting up my first Mac. This one has been the worst setup ever. And it's not just the fact that there's a lot of apps to install. It's the fact that every single one needs permission for this, permission for that. And if it worked the first time, it would be mildly annoying, but, you know, you'd get through it. But these aren't working the first time. Sometimes you've got to do it 3 and 4 times. And Snagit, I've got 2 things that need to be authorised. I've got 2 buttons there to do it. Every time you press it, it doesn't do a thing. Not a thing. So not good. Right, so let's get back to where we were. SoundSource just updated today. I think I've got the latest version of that. SoundSource is the only thing that gets me to retain my sanity, because what that will show you is that the input is set to 100% and you can configure it from there, which means I don't have to delve into the vagaries of the system preference thing, which is awful on the best of days. So I've got that installed, that's configured, everything on there is working fine and dandy. At least that's one thing. So I pin that to the screen and then I can see if it inadvertently slides down. All part of a checklist that we... well, have we got? Well, is it... Can you say you've got a checklist if you know you need one, but you haven't actually got one yet? But you've got a blank piece of paper and you've just put one word on it. That's a checklist, isn't it? That's the stage we're at. Oh, it's been bad. It's been really bad. Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you. We will sort it out tomorrow. Might be an idea, you know, for the smooth entry for which you are renowned, to try earlier, just in case. So I'll ping you tomorrow. Oh, dear. Oh, Kim's got her dinner. Excellent. We had dinner, but Lola had most of it, didn't she?
It's fish. A fair share.
It's fish on Friday. Oh, does she like salmon? She really enjoyed that.
Right, I have paid.
Oh, excellent. Well done, Mike. Well done. It's taking the money off you.
There was no chocolate in that order. That was an oversight.
Can you go back and edit the order?
Yes.
Handy.
I've got till 11:30.
Right.
And if this text stress continues... I'll be going past the 95 items and getting rid of the lettuce.
Mike, we can afford to lose the lettuce. Put in the stuff we really need to cope with the tech stress. Oh, no. I mean, it is a stress. I mean, we're laughing about it, but honestly, I'm actually beginning to think maybe I should have imaged the machine. But the reason that I didn't was there was so much wrong with the other one.
Good evening, Simon.
Hello, Simon.
We missed you last night.
Hello, Tracy.
A MacBytes guide to MacBytes.
Oh, yes. Tell me about it. Oh, what's Jonathan got there? I've got a link there.
Jonathan's done a U.
Oh.
Yes. He's blurred things out.
Oh, hang on. I can't get there yet. I'm also using a different mouse, which is not... Oh, a MacBytes guide too. Oh.
I think I know what it says.
I know what that is and I know what some of those shapes are. There's a menorah in the top right. Was it a dreidel? In the middle at the bottom? Ooh! I'm liking that. I am liking that. That looks brilliant, Jonathan. Well impressed. Well impressed. Right, let me get this. Now I've got that floating over the top and I don't want it floating over the top. Did anybody else have a nightmare setting a machine up? Or are you not ludicrously silly enough to try it the day of a live show? Yeah, but what's life with no jeopardy, eh?
Simon tried to join in from the woods but could have ended up in a quarry.
Walking the naughty dog. What has Dusty been up to? Let us know. Oh, I got 2 of them. I got 2 of them. I'm winning. Yeah. Excellent. I'm well impressed with that. Do you know what impresses me even more than the actual artwork, which itself is impressive? The fact that Jonathan remembered the demo where I showed you how to actually do the blurring. Can't say fairer than that, can we? Excellent. Very, very impressed. No, what have we been doing today?
You have learnt, young, was it? Padawan.
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 Hard one. Isn't it a toy, a dreidel?
Yeah, it's like a spinning
top. A spinning top. Like a spinning top. Basically setting up the machine. But it has been a nightmare, honestly.
You'll all be glad to know, if you've listened to the last Mac Bites, Manchester United have got their email back. And we are getting emails about the match programmes again.
It only took 3 weeks. Do you reckon they paid up?
They're not going to say, are they?
No, but I would have thought, if that ransomware thing came in, I'd have thought there's no point paying because they won't give you back access anyway. But I have heard that they do. And I guess they'd need to get the publicity. So if it happens to somebody else, the next lot know that if they pay, they will get access back.
Yeah.
So I think they probably will. They were probably just negotiating on how much.
Well, with Ed Woodward at the negotiating table, they probably paid twice over the odds.
That wouldn't actually surprise me. There's a standing joke with United, isn't there? That they have something partners, what's the word?
Everything partners.
Well, yeah, basically partners, but what they mean is advertising. So they'll have an official airline partner. The official airline partner of Manchester United.
The drinks partner. Aeroflot. It was Aeroflot.
Aeroflot. So that they always have this, like Gillette.
Yeah.
That was one, wasn't it? The official shaving partner of. Not even joking here. This is genuine. So we've probably got the official ransomware partner of.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the official blackmailing partner.
Yes. Do you remember that time? I there was a guy who was the head of comms?
Yeah.
Paddy Anderson?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was head of comms and he was taken on at a time when United were kind of transitioning from little football club into, international brand. And was it at Munich 1 year? I think it was. They sent out this promotional thing. And on it was like, renew early and you can be entered into a draw to win this item. And I looked at this on my season ticket and I turned it over and I thought, are you kidding me? So I'd already vented with Mike about this item. And what it was a watch. And it was one of these very expensive watches. Not an Apple watch, it was pre-Apple watches. But it was an Apple, it was a very nice watch. I don't know brands of watches, but it was a very nice, expensive watch. And it was without doubt a male watch. It was huge.
It was probably Tag Heuer, because they're the United Timekeeping partner.
The official timekeeping partner. Yeah, probably was. But it was without a doubt a male thing. And given that, percentage-wise, probably 10 to 20%, a large percentage of people with season ticket holders are not male. So I vented with Mike and then we went down to the ground and we were doing the Munich thing and Paddy Harverson was there, the head of comms. So I went up to him and I said, we were having a chat about it. And I said, oh, while you're here. And I said, this promo you sent out? And he said, oh, yeah, yeah. I said, and for the ladies? I said, why does the gift have to be gender-based? Why would you do that? I said, okay, it's a nice watch. That's not the point. But to make it gender-specific, I said, it's highly unlikely you would have put out something that was gender-specific to the female. He looked so uncomfortable, didn't he? He apologised profusely, made sure it didn't happen again. He left after that, didn't he? Went to work for Prince Charles. He's now PR for Prince Charles. I mean, if there's ever been a thankless task, that's the one, isn't it? How do you sell Prince Charles? Sell him off, yeah. So, that was one United debacle, but at least they've got their email back. What can you say?
He was Townsend's predecessor, wasn't he?
He was.
And
Townsend took over,
from him.
But he was a nice guy. He was very much... He did talk to the fans, didn't he?
Yeah.
And Townsend did as well, to be honest. So yeah. So they were pretty decent, but, I guess it wasn't his idea. The watch wasn't his idea. But, why make the free gift gender-specific at all? I don't understand that. You're going to win something, but, it's in a child size. Why would you do that? Just make it generic. Anyway, he did after that. Kim wants to look up the story of the oil. Oh, no, that's coming tomorrow. We're having the longest ever trailer for Jonathan's piece on account of the fact that I've broken Skype. I did not break it. It broke itself. In fact, there's so much that's tweaks and stuff that... You know when your computer doesn't feel like your own? Everything I run is putting icons in the menu bar for a start. I am only thankful I took Paul's sage advice, you know. Because before these computers arrived, I said, there's a 50-50 chance it's going to be Catalina. Which means there's a 50-50 chance it could be the dreaded Biggles. And I'm working on the principle when I say dreaded Biggles, that Biggles is going to be even more stringent in its security, Gansler allow, than Catalina. And Catalina's bad. But I'd said to Mike, well, what I could do, you know, you're going to have to Biggles in the end anyway. So why not just Biggles at the beginning and be done with it? So if it comes with Catalina, I think I'll Biggles it. So as the days went by, I thought, yeah, I'll Biggles it. That's the answer straight away. And then we had a discussion about it, didn't we, when they arrived last week. And it was, Paul said, I wouldn't. And I thought, So I pondered. We got it. When did we get it on the desk? Was it Saturday?
Monday, wasn't it?
Well, I think it could have been Monday. It acclimatised for a long time. We had to paint the ceiling first.
Yeah, it was Monday.
Yes. So I think it was Monday. By which point I'd firmly got in my brain 3 days of ruminating on Paul's sage advice that, you know, it was probably best left alone on Catalina. I am pleased that I decided to do that. So we have two Catalina twins rather than a Catalina and a Biggles. It's about the same security-wise. Well, you know, that actually pleases me, Paul. At least it's no worse. Because I can understand security with Apple. But I said to Mike, it wasn't like this when we installed stuff years ago. And particularly if something's available through the App Store, why not work out with the app developer? Because we now also have these privacy nutrition labels. So Apple are being made aware from the developers of what permissions are needed. So can't they make a kind of permission recipe that I only have to say, yes, I'm fine with that. Or give me like a list of, you know, 7 permissions it needs. And then I can just put ticks in boxes and then say, OK. Instead of which you have to, if there's 7 permissions it needs, you've got to go through the entire thing 7 times. And you've got the app on one side of the screen saying press this button, so you do, and then on the other side of the screen you get the system preferences, and the system preferences, you click the button in the app, it goes to the system preferences. The system preferences say, for this to take effect you need to quit, do you want to quit now? And the app on the other side of the screen saying don't quit, and you're like, well, it won't take effect until I do. But I think their logic is you need to go back to the app and then click the second button, and then that'll go back to the system preferences. And you will be in the system preference dance for 20 minutes. And at the end of it, when you've done the last one, then do it. But what I'm finding is every single application is doing this in a different way. So it isn't just a quick case of yes, 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 and I'm through it. You've actually got to stop and read it, because they're all telling you slightly different things. Just different enough to be annoying, that you do have to stop and read it before you press the wrong button. Maybe I will Biggles in the new year, but I know what's going to happen. I'm going to be at the stage where I'm like in no particular rush to do it, even though I need to be in a particular rush to do it. Unless the only videos I do aren't Mac apps. Which isn't really viable, is it? Not for long, it's not. Also had an epiphany with PowerPoint, didn't I?
Mm.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. But I had another epiphany. Right. Someone had to send an Apple developer info for apps. We develop at work, and they don't make it easy for us either. Very little guidance. So it's ambiguous as to what classes as what. It feels like that, Jonathan. It does. It feels like... The developers don't really know the best way to go about it. So in some cases, you push a button and the actual application icon appears in the system preferences and you can put the tick in it or not. And then the next one that you go to says, drag the icon. And I'm sitting there thinking, what icon? And then I realise at the bottom of the dialogue that I'm reading, there is actually an icon and it's not a picture. It's live. So I can drag that and drop it to the system preferences. The one that's flummoxing me at the moment, it's just not having it, is Snagit. Snagit needs, I think it's 7 permissions. And it comes up at the beginning and you say yes, no, and whatever. If you need to change them, then there's a capture permissions, fix capture permissions option inside it. And I know from my other installs of this that I need to have 6 enabled and I've only got 4. So, for instance, what I had to do with a screenshot that I needed, instead of scrolling the screenshot automatically in Chrome, I've had to take 4 screenshots and glue them together, which is wasting my time. There is an edit system permissions text box. And when I click that, it opens the security and privacy section and it goes to automation. And in the automation privacy section, it's slightly different. You have the apps at the top level and then underneath it, you have checkboxes for applications you have allowed that top level application to access. You cannot manually add one. And no matter how many times I click this button in Snagit, it's not adding it. So there's no way to manually do it. There's nothing else that you can do. I made the mistake. This is a big mistake. Don't do this. I made the big mistake of clicking the help button, which took me out to a website. Then I got incensed, didn't I? It said, it went through the process and said, you click this button and then this happens. And I thought, no, that's not happened. So where's the like troubleshooting for where it does when it doesn't happen? And the last line was, or you can do this manually. Full stop. And I thought, how? I've already tried to add the application and it's not having it at all. And I won't say that I've been asked for my password that many times, but I've been entering it with my watch. Which is fine. But now I'm double tapping the button and it's like, I think it's got password exhaustion. It's not taking it the first time. Have you had that?
No.
No, I'm having to like double tap it about 5 times and eventually it will take it. So it's... Mike, you don't like setting up machines, do you? You'd rather just have them all configured. He's pondering that.
No, I'm thinking that you said, but the fun of it, it's hardly been fun, has it?
No, it hasn't. When I say the fun of it, it's like it's an opportunity to reevaluate every workflow. And that is what I've done. And I've come up with things that I would never have thought of doing if I wasn't setting it up from scratch. So you've got an application and you've installed it and, you know, it had 9 options and you've configured those 9 options the way that you want them. One thing with a workflow would be to go back and evaluate those 9 options, but because you're setting it up from scratch, you're using the same version you were on the other machine, but since you actually installed it initially and configured the 9 options, there's another 5 options. And that is actually something that happened in Snagit. There's an option that has been added since the last time I installed it from new, which is the only time that I would go in and configure the shortcuts. I've gone in this time and I've put the shortcuts in the way I had them. And then I see this extra option and think, oh, hang on. If I tweak that and tweak that, and then that's a better workflow. That I absolutely love. And I think you should probably put that time on your calendar maybe once a month or at least once a quarter, which is like, reevaluate the software and workflows task.
There was definitely cursing, Kim, and a lot of it.
There was actually a lot. So I'm definitely going to wait for 11.1, possibly beyond that, Paul. We'll see how it goes. So Paul in Sydney says, I wonder with the increased security whether people get used to clicking allow. Then this will wipe your data pops up. Exactly. There is that kind of just fatigue element with it, Paul. You've read the dialogue box looks the same as it did in the other 8 apps, only this one's, you know, fraudulent and going to nick stuff. And you just, yes, 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 because that's what I'm saying. If there was one consolidated, this is the permissions recipe for this particular app, then I'd probably take a lot of notice. But I guarantee tonight, when I finally do get all these apps installed, which is going to have to happen in the next like 30 minutes for it to work. There will be times when I think I've done everything. I think I've set everything up. And I guarantee there'll be something comes up tonight that says, can you let me do this? Can you let me do that? I mean, there's been some comical things, like when Keynote was at its worst, deleting stuff, and it still is. I went into PowerPoint and I said to Mike, I'm going to work backwards. So Mike's like, well, can you get this on a slide and that on a slide? And I said, forget that. I need to start at the end and work backwards. If I can't present the thing effectively, then there's no point wasting my time trying to get things lined up on a slide. So I started with the presentation view, and no matter what I did, it only uses two screens. You can have it using one, but it will still black out the other one. Now I've got three, so one it ignores. So what I wanted it to do was use the screen in the middle and the screen on the left. Really simple. No matter what I did, it was not persuaded there was a screen on the left. So we had to rejigger the other workflow, which moved all the stuff off the right-hand screen onto the left-hand screen and vice versa. So I've done that for a month. So I get this installed this time and I think, need to get into PowerPoint, which was a saga in its own right. Gets into it, thinks, right, need to set up the presentation option. Go into it. I'm sitting here, like twisted slightly to the right, ready to look at the notes, the presentation notes, and the screen's just, you know, my usual desktop. And I kind of turn back to the middle, at which point I looked on the left, and now it's on the left where I wanted it in the first place. But I don't think that should change from machine to machine. Just let me choose which screens, for crying out loud. Everything is like just not where you expect it to be anymore, is what I'd say. Oh, it is. It's just crazy. Right. And yes, I am at the point where I'm just saying yes. have I said no to anything? I think I did say no to something. It was something that wanted to send anonymized data to somewhere. And I thought, yeah, we can forget that. So I have said no to a few items, but... Loving that, Jonathan. We're debating just saying we do things even when we don't, just to be on the safe side. Oh, it's chaotic. Good evening, Pete. Hello. What's the cursing? There were new words, Kim. There were new words.
I don't think there's been any new words. I think there's been a lot of repetition of old words.
Oh, in my head there's been new words. I make up words as I'm swearing. See, Kim feels a lot better about her own setup now. There has been, Kim, because I have been using a Mac long enough to remember when this stuff was easy. I mean, there's just... Even the permissions that Apple have created a series of permissions, and they call them things. So one of them is screen recording. Now, if something pops up and it says, requires permission to record the screen, they have to use that term because that's Apple's term for what that specific permission is. But one of them was Alfred, and it's not recording the screen. It needs access to things on the screen, maybe. So if we think about how Keyboard Maestro works, and I haven't actually shown you the macro for this, but Keyboard Maestro was on the list of want to sees, wasn't it, Mike?
I think so.
I do think it was. But the thing with Keyboard Maestro is there's a precious little point in doing a demo where you just, you know, and it can do this and it can do that. You need something that works in a workflow that you do actually personally use it for it to make any sense. So I use it to fix stuff when other applications break, and particularly for a lot of shortcut keys. And that is a huge benefit because, you know, you sit down at your new machine and you try and use Alfred and that's not working. And then you go into an application and all of the shortcut keys that you customized. Yes, I know macOS can do it at system level, but you can't extract them from one machine to another. So I do it all in Keyboard Maestro. I got Keyboard Maestro installed and then it felt like my Mac. But something like that, because of one feature in Keyboard Maestro, where it looks at the screen. So you can create a macro and you can... So I've got this macro that I use the shortcut key. It runs the macro. And the first thing the macro does is check for something on the screen. And when it finds this something on the screen, it needs to click it. And the reason that I can't just say it's on the screen at position 2020 is it's not. It's in the corner of an application in the lower right. So there is a way to say to Keyboard Maestro, check the screen out, and when you find this bit and you give it a graphic, click it. So it's a way of actually telling it to click a button, irrespective of where the button is. And for that, it needs permission to record the screen. But it's not recording the screen. It's accessing the screen, but it's not recording it. And Apple don't provide the level of granularity that you actually know what it's doing. So you have to make a judgment when it asks for permission to record the screen. Does it mean record the screen, like Camtasia and ScreenFlow need? No. Oh, and don't get me going on ScreenFlow. That was another one. Got that installed, pressed all the buttons. You know, oh, wait, I can't do system audio. Oh, I can't capture the keys anymore. So you've got to click this button to accept this message. Because obviously you could have bought and paid for that application because of that feature. And now that feature's not there. So you've got to accept that feature's, they've disabled it. At that point, I'm thinking, right, have we done the cancel and allows? Awesome. Let's go through the system preferences. Awesome. Right, press record. I can't record the screen. And then I get a load more abuse in dialogue boxes about you're going to need to give it permission for this and this and this. But the message that I saw was less, hi, sorry to trouble you, but you're going to need to give me permission to X, Y and Z. The message actually was, error, can't record. You know, I'm thinking, oh, don't tell me, you need permissions. Oh, I'm spot on right. But just imagine some poor muggle who's already gone through all of this permission, allow. You've done everything it has asked of you, and the second you press record, then it starts screaming. But instead of asking for permission, it generates an error. And it was probably the worst looking error box I'd ever seen in terms of, whoa, that looks catastrophic. And it wasn't. It was literally just it needed permission. They're going to have to do something about it, unless it's deliberate. Because, you know, you don't have any of this messing on an iPad, do you? Have you ever got, not permissions to that degree. You get a little message that says, can I access the microphone and the camera? But not to this degree. This is utterly ridiculous. And like I say, I've still got two buttons that are there and I can't do a thing with them. They're just not doing anything. So I shall have to see what's happening with that, what I can do about it. Well, they are very, very annoying. Right. I'm getting that link that you've just put in, Paul. Only it's selecting too much. This'll be the mouse I'm using. Don't go there. Right, got that. Let's have a look. I think, Jonathan, this Biggles feels rushed. I've noticed just little subtle things in this install of Catalina. When I'm on exactly the same version on the new machine as the old one, that are different. So on one machine, I get a little message that talks about, do you want to know more about? And it basically, it's your operating system. And it says macOS Catalina. And on the new one, it says macOS, as though they're just making it generic. The little icon, of course, is Catalina. But I look on Biggles and it also, it's the same text is on that version of Biggles. But why am I getting different messages on two different installs of Catalina when they're exactly the same to the dot, dot, dot? I don't understand that. But it feels like they're just making it generic. As though the name, so Big Sur, Catalina, Mojave, will just be like, do you remember Windows Chicago?
Yeah.
They're just like prototype names. But when it comes out, it's going to be Windows. It could be that. It just, mind you, it won't matter one day, will it? Because it'll just be iOS. It'll be iOS. And we'll be sat in front of a sheet of glass and we'll be just tapping away at the screen like a manic woodpecker. And nobody will be able to do any work whatsoever. That's where we'll be at. I predict it. You heard it here first. I can only see half of the text here. So I'm reading this bit where Paul says, Biggles would have been a mess with or without Apple Silicon, but I couldn't read anything past bean. So the bit that said a mess. So I've just widened it so I can read it, but you had me pondering there. It would have been a, and I'm making up my own words. I am making up my own words, but mess is a good one. Maybe them working from home had more of an impact than they care to admit. However, they have just said that the majority of Apple staff will be working from home through to the end of June next year. I do hope AstraZeneca have read that.
I'm sure they have.
Just saying. But maybe it had more of an impact, that the transition to working from home for some people might take longer. Just the dynamic of the team. I mean, it shouldn't, technically. You've got access to exactly the same stuff. But just in terms of how you do things when you have meetings, how people feel about it. Some people probably don't like working from home, as much as I don't like going in an office. So we'll have to see. Ah, Jonathan's parting with money to them as well. £100 a year for a developer account and commission on apps. It's a license to print money for Apple, that's for sure. I'm with Kim. That's exactly how I feel right now. Usually by the time I like my computers, they quit working well and I need to be replaced. It needs to feel like your computer, doesn't it? And at the moment it doesn't, which is going to be great. Trying to sort this show out tonight. But, you know, when we started After Hours a couple of years ago, it was all very informal, wasn't it? And it was all just, oh, and then we'll move on to that. And, oh, hey, have you seen this? So it could be like a throwback to the early days tonight with like, oh, well, that didn't work, did it? Particularly if you get any of these, you're going to need to restart this application where that application is critical to actually broadcasting, in which case, yeah, we're not doing that. That can't happen. We'll see how we go. But tonight could be a little bit pantsed, as they say in the writing world. You're either a plotter or a pantser. A plotter is somebody who plots the book out from start to finish. And a pantser is somebody who just, you know, by the seat of their pants. So tonight could be a pantsed session. We'll see how that goes. Oh, Pete's got the bedtime routine to do. Oh, would that I was going to bed right now. That'd be good. Oh, Paul, I feel your pain. I'm going to have to update the macros so I can do the same thing with a new computer because I can't find the settings on the MacBook Pro. I try and make it. There's only a handful of shortcuts that I put at system level, Paul. And they are the exceptions. Everything else is either in Alfred or it's in Keyboard Maestro. I can't even remember the criteria for which it went in Keyboard Maestro or it went in Alfred. So I probably need to look at that as well. But what has come out of installing this is I clearly need, not exactly system maintenance, maintenance is the wrong word, but just like triage. Triaging the system on at least, add it to my monthly review, basically. At the end of every month, it's usually the last Sunday in every month, I've got like a checklist that I need to go through. Have you done this? Have you done that? At the end of the month. And I think I need to add this to it, but I also need to put it on the calendar as like a blocked out chunk of time where I go through and I make sure that all my ducks are in a row. So if I, on the new machine, add a macro to do something in Keyboard Maestro, I want to be able to go back to the old machine and use the same shortcut and it work. And the ones that I've set up, I try not to overdo it with shortcut keys and stuff. You have to be able to remember them. I do use a heck of a lot. When I watch Mike and he does everything with the mouse, I'm like, come on, come on, come on, get on with it. There's there isn't. It's a custom shortcut. So I'm saying to Mike, there's a shortcut for that. Do you remember in Twisted Wave? Mike was in Twisted Wave. He was having instruction.
Having a lesson.
On Twisted Wave. So I said, you press the M key and it puts a marker in. Now, this is critical for a workflow that we've changed. The markers are amazing. Hindi likes the markers, so it's brilliant. So he was fine putting the markers in. And then I said, you shift command and M and that'll bring up the marker window. So he did and it didn't. And I looked and went, So I went to my machine and tried it. And then I thought, you put that in Keyboard Maestro, didn't you? So I then had to get Mike to set it up because otherwise there's no way to access the marker window. That then brings up this list of markers and then you can navigate through your audio with the markers. But there's an example of something that's so ingrained in my head, I thought it was in the app. But by putting it in Keyboard Maestro, along with the other 300 shortcuts. The stuff in PowerPoint worked, the stuff in Twisted Wave worked, the extra stuff I've put in Hindi worked. So I like to have them all together. If I had to transfer them from the system preferences one by one, there would have been more than bad words. I would have gone absolutely insane. What was impressive was the one in PowerPoint that's looking for an artifact on the screen, and when it finds it, it will click that point, actually came across absolutely perfectly, even though the screenshot of what you're telling it to look for was taken on another Mac. So that gave me hope for doing more of that in the future. There's a lot of stuff in PowerPoint in particular that doesn't have shortcuts. It's just not there as a shortcut. And yet I look at the menus that show you the shortcuts and I'm like, why have you got a shortcut key to do that? You know, you do it once every 5 years. Why would you have a shortcut key? But stuff like insert a text box, no shortcut key. It's utterly ridiculous. So I like that part of an install because it makes me question everything. But it's not pretty. Like Simon says, why can't developers have the option to give a short description of permissions? I think the biggest problem at the moment, and it could be because it's relatively new over the last couple of years, there's no consistency in it. And Apple have grouped things together, like record the screen. It means access the screen. Call it access the screen. Because if you call it record the screen, I guarantee there'll be muggles out there who'll say, no, security shouldn't do that, you know. The phone rings and somebody says, well, give me your bank card details. And they say, yes, here you go. It's not that they're stupid. It's just that looks terrifying and some nice little person on the phone asking for your credit card details, they'll do it. Apple need to make it more muggle-friendly. Not that I need it more muggle-friendly. I need consistency. I want to see one permissions dialogue that lists every permission that an application needs with a checkbox and an OK button at the bottom. I also need in the application preferences that there is a consistent button that says reconfigure permissions in every application, because otherwise you're running around with like, okay, I said no to that one and now I need to say yes, where is it? Or I said yes and now I need to say no, where is it? And they're all different. So Apple used to have the most amazing like human interface guidelines where the applications had a consistency and now they don't. It's been fun from a perspective of tweaking workflows because I love that. It's the only time that you really think, and to be honest, it's usually when something's dead, isn't it?
Yeah.
You'll come to install an app and it's like, oh, that's not there anymore. So then you have to rethink the workflow. I actually like that. I enjoy doing that. I'm okay with that. But all of the cancel and allow business, no, it's driving me insane. And why isn't Skype working? Well, your guess is as good as mine. I don't know. Which means that I'm going to have to troubleshoot it. I mean, we had a thing, didn't we, this week from one of the Catanians. Couldn't get access to a Google Calendar with one email address, could with another.
That was weird.
Absolutely no reason, but that's what happened. So Kim's wondering if the developers had to pay to get the OS code to develop a new app. No idea. If there's no monetary reason why they bring out iOS before it's really ready. Well, when you say monetary reason, it's the expectation that there will be one every year. And they brought that on themselves. They decided to do that many years ago. I mean, we got our first Mac in April 2006 and we didn't do the first OS, and it had been out a while then, Tiger. But we didn't do Leopard for another 15, 16 months. So it certainly wasn't every year back then. It'll be the shareholders. You know, the shares will drop in value because there's this perception that they've not kept a promise that they never actually said they were going to make. This is what I don't like about shareholder and investor aspect of it. They're investing and deciding whether to buy or sell shares, literally based on some article on a blog site somewhere that said, well, it should be out by now. I mean, how many times have there been an issue of like, well, it happened this year. Apple have cancelled WWDC. Well, technically speaking, they never actually announced WWDC. But there's a perception that it was there last year in June, it was there the year before in June, and the year before that. Therefore, you know, it's like my cat has four legs, my dog has four legs, therefore my dog is a cat. The logic of investment, where they don't actually understand it, but it has a huge impact on the company. So if they said, we're going to bring out Biggles in the middle of next year, it would be, Apple missed shipping date. What shipping date? The shipping date that they said, not the other way around. But that's what happens, and it does have an impact. But I agree with you, if it's not ready, it's not ready, and they certainly shouldn't ship it. But I'm not being nagged on this computer at all to install Biggles, which is shocking, because normally the second something is out, you are. But with this one, there is a one in the system preferences saying, oh, you know, Biggles is available. Do you fancy it? And I'm like, heck no, walk away. But normally I'm getting messages. I'm getting like a message every day. I am getting messages. This is an example of it. I am getting messages on my father's 2009 MacBook Pro that cannot run anything beyond, I think it's LCAP, that Catalina's out. And now I'm getting messages on it that Biggles is out. And I'm like, why am I not seeing this on younger machines? Because that can't install it anyway. That's how insistent they were that you were on the latest and greatest. And yet this has been sat here for the best part of a week now, and I've not seen one message. I get a message saying, do you want to learn more about Catalina? But I've not had one message that says, oh, and by the way, Biggles is out. Do you fancy a look? Not one. And when you look at it, they're not saying macOS Catalina, macOS Big Sur. They're saying macOS. So it's as if they know that it's not quite all there. That's what I'm taking from it. It's a good job I'm on holiday. Oh, God, absolutely. Oh, I'm loving that one, Paul. Something went wrong. Try troubleshooting that.
See you later, Kim.
Good night, Kim. All right, where's that one from Paul gone? Loving that. I hate those messages.
See you, Paul.
I mean, we always have some kind of notification, don't we? You put an error number in it or something. When you're coding, you would never put a message that says, you know, there's an error. I'm not telling you what, though. Ha-ha! That's what it feels like. There are muggles in the Apple support communities referring to macOS as iOS. You know, they've just got a crystal ball, Paul. They're just ahead of us by 4 years. Biggles 2.0 is going to be just as interesting next year. It always will be, Jonathan. And don't forget, Biggles 2.0, but forever in MacBite's mind, TabbyCat. TabbyCat is always the next OS. That's a fallback to the fact that they always used to be cats, and we lived in hope he'd call one Tabby Cat, but he never did. Oh, never mind. We never get upset with those in our bubbles. No, we don't. No, we absolutely don't. Oh, the Super Toblerone. It's like the Super Lamb Banana.
Yeah. We'll talk about that later.
Soon.
I'm going to be doing something very rare tonight in After Hours.
Go on.
I'm going to be showing off Excel for Mac.
Hang on, that's worth a drum roll. There we go.
Only because Excel for Windows doesn't have the
Super Lamb Banana
I want to show.
Does your Excel have a Super Lamb Banana? I don't know if mine does. I haven't had a look. Oh, I did the other day, didn't I? I don't think mine has the Super Lamb Banana.
Why not?
I don't know. Let me have a look. I'm running Excel. This is a rare event in itself. Oh, so much of a rare event. What's new in Excel? Right, get started. I'm good to go.
Unless it comes in the next hour.
Right. I'll create a new file, and then I will insert a Super Lamb Banana. Do I have to put a bracket in it?
No, just put equals lamb.
No, nothing. Equals Super Lamb Banana. Nothing.
No.
I don't have a lamb banana.
Are you on the fast thingy?
I think I am. If I go to check for updates.
And then you click. Don't you click advanced? Is it advanced?
Hang on. Current channel preview or beta channel?
I've gone for beta.
Oh, let's do that. Awesome Sauce.
Because they changed the names just to confuse
us. Yeah, that used to be called Fast Updates.
Yeah.
Right, select the checkbox. Yeah, let's do automatic updates as well, shall we? No, really ramp on the jeopardy. I don't think I have ever done that, Mike. I honestly don't think I have ever said keep them up to date when they beat us. Particularly given the fact that now, of course, I'm using PowerPoint. But you know what? I'm going to do it. How far on can I go? She said. Right, let's come out of that. We don't want to save that one, but we do want to save the other one. So where's my PowerPoint gone? Oh, PowerPoint's disappeared. Right, it's doing an update. Now, this is typical Microsoft. There is an update to the updater, and you need to update the updater before you can update the apps. So I've run the update Excel, and I've been given the option to update the updater. This is like being on Windows, isn't it? Update the updater before you can update the updates. Ah, lovely.
Now, Johnny, what it is that there's a new feature in Excel, and it's only being given to certain people. And I've got it on one account and not got it on the other.
Typical. Do we have to do something on the E3 level, though, to actually enable betas?
No, I've already done it.
Oh, right. That didn't work either.
No.
Oh, my tech. Gotta love it. So, Jeopardus or what? I am running on the 10th of December beta version of PowerPoint. What could go wrong? Yeah, don't ask questions like that. All sorts could happen. Am I fully in PowerPoint now? I am, Jonathan. I am. Kim suggested that she felt there may be a PowerPoint tutorial coming up. I think it would be best, you guys tell me, I think it would be best if I did it as a build with me in PowerPoint, and then I can explain as I go along the little nuances. Good grief, listen to that. The fans have finally come on. Because it's updating lots of stuff. The nuances of why I can work faster in PowerPoint. Because, you know, otherwise it'd be just like a shopping list of, well, it's got this feature and this feature. It's not particularly the features. It's how fast I can get done what I need to get done, given that I make about 250 slides a week. So I could do that.
By the way, Johnny, I'm spying on you. And I know you're in two places at once.
Do you know, that could be a title for the show, that, Jonathan.
Two places at once.
No, gosh, if I'd said that last year, you'd have thought I were mad. If you'd have said that 4 weeks ago, I'd have had you certified as criminally insane. But it's one of those things where I'm open-minded and I can't have it eating my data.
So I'm stalking Johnny as he goes into after hours,
an hour stalk early. Him, Mike. That, like I said, there were the basics that, you know, if it can't do this, I can't use it. But that Saturday, which was 4 weeks ago tomorrow, I thought there's no way this is viable. And yet, at the same time, I'm looking at Keynote and I'm... Squeaky chair.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Keynote and I'm thinking, and I can't stay with this either because it's eating data. So PowerPoint it was. Anyway, it was the right move. It was the right move. So, do you want to see how I work in PowerPoint? Or do you just want to be... blissfully using Keynote, because Jonathan, you know that slide eating happened to you as well. It's not just me. I'm not taking it personally, because I know it happened to you as well. So it might be something you need to think about. Do you know what is interesting, though? At least this time round, when I had a problem and I thought, well, the only alternative is PowerPoint, I did look at Pitch, which was that online one. But the problem I've got with using Pitch is getting the graphics in there and organising them fast enough. It's a beautiful app. And I might use it for a specific presentation. But I don't think I could use... I need like a powerhouse that I can just sit down on a Monday and just throw stuff at it and know that I'm going to be ready by Friday. And Pitch isn't for that. But what was interesting was, you know, it wasn't that long ago I didn't have Office. I didn't use Office for years. I think... What year did we get 365 for the first time, Mike? Maybe 4 years ago? Something like that? Certainly no more than that. Can you remember when we first got 365?
Quite a few years ago.
Yeah, but only about four or five. It's not like 10. So I think I was Microsoft free for maybe 8 years. But at least now, the way it's working, I can switch to PowerPoint because it's already there. All I ever used it for was like, oh, I've got the PowerPoint file. And you know, it looks a bit ropey in Keynote. I'll open it in PowerPoint and see if it's the same. And that was it. Other than that, I didn't use it. It did, but I love Keynote. Don't want to go to PowerPoint. I want Apple Together, Act Together and fix Keynote. Good luck with that one, Jonathan. Life's too short. Oh, mind you, you see, you've got 20-odd years on me. So maybe in your lifetime it'll be fixed. Things you might be interested in. Oh, I'll have a look at that. Oh, how's Kettlegate going on? Can we get more information about Kettlegate tomorrow? That would be so cool. Because that wasn't arriving till Monday, was it? Right, let me have a look at that. Oh, I've got a space in it. Let's have a look. Space at the beginning, get rid of that. Right, let's have a look. Oh, no. 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 Just no, Jonathan. That's not going on this year's gift guide. Not that colour, it's not. What is it about pink? If I could, you know, like nuke a colour, pink would be it. It's not actually that the colour itself is offensive. It's the connotations with it. She's a girl, so I'll buy her something pink. Can't tell you the number of times that happened when I was a kid. It's like, oh, it's pink. Bin. But it is. It's the connotations of it. Oh, kettle arriving early. Did the other one ever turn up? My toy that was missing in action never turned up. So I'll have to sort our refund about that. Not good. Not good at all. Right. Well, we have got that much work to do to be ready for 9 o'clock. If it was 9 o'clock tomorrow, it'd probably still be tight. So we're going to head off and start doing it now. And whatever's ready is going to be ready. And what isn't ready isn't going to be ready. That's where we're at. And I'm not even at all sure I can actually broadcast yet. So jeopardous hour while I sort myself out. But for the moment, saying goodnight from me.
And goodnight from me.
And we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.